Food Heals Nation, what have you been doing lately when it comes to truly caring for your skin? Have you tried any of the light therapy facials or the LED masks? I've shared on this show how I use lasers to completely remove my brown spots in the past, and I love anything that can help me with wrinkles or blemishes or redness or scars. I find a lot of great products on YouTube that I test out, and I've just discovered a new brand. It's called Lima. And when you see the before and afters on YouTube, you're going to be a convert too. They are changing the way that you care for your skin on actually a profoundly scientific level. This is the Lima laser. It's the world's most powerful clinic-grade cosmetic laser device and the only laser FDA cleared for at-home use. Why this is important is because I was spending, I'm not going to tell you how much, way too much money years ago when I was getting rid of those brown spots, when I was really healing my skin. And now this same type of technology is available at home, and I'm here for it. I am so excited. So this is a near infrared laser light that penetrates deep into the dermis, simultaneously working on your fat, muscle, and bone to give you like a non-surgical facelift. It transforms your skin. It helps skin issues like wrinkles, sagging, blemishes, pigmentation, redness, breakouts, and scars. And it does this with zero damage, zero pain, and zero downtime. And I remember the lasers that I used to do, they did have some downtime, so this is great. Make sure to check out some of the before and after photos on the website so you can see what I'm talking about. They have YouTube videos too. But the reason it's groundbreaking is it uses that near-infrared low-level light technology, which is completely cold and painless, and it's 100 times more powerful than an LED. And the craziest part is you can even use it with a full face of makeup. So check it out for yourself. Visit lima.life. L is for live, Y is for younger, M is for masterful, A is for approved, and learn more about the Lima laser. If you're interested in trying one today, you can sign up for their newsletter. Tell them that Food Heals sent you, and please let me know if you order one. I want to hear about your results. Again, it's lima.life, LYMA.life. You're listening to the Food Heals Podcast.
Warning, side effects of this podcast may include increased health and vitality, thoughts of living longer, developing a more positive outlook on life, an increase in sexual activity, feelings of joy, cravings for kale and quinoa, and a spike in Tinder matches. In rare cases, people have experienced a strong desire to put down the Ben and Jerry's, get off the couch, and take a walk outside. If you experience any of these symptoms, tell your Facebook friends immediately.
All right, welcome Food Heals Nation. Thanks for joining me. I'm Allison Melody. She is a confidence therapist, authentic dating strategist, and image expert. Please welcome Kimmy Seltzer back to the show.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome back.
So happy to be back. It's been a while.
I know. It's been way too long, but luckily I get the pleasure of seeing you a lot. We speak at conferences together. We talk on the phone. We're real life friends, but... It's been a while since you've been here on Food Heals. So just remind Food Heals Nation a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, well, so as you said, I'm a confidence therapist, image expert, and a dating strategist. And yeah, obviously it's like a mouthful to say. I help people look and feel their best so that they attract what they want. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's funny because a lot of times people will come to me and they'll say, find me a man, find me a woman. But at the end of the day, what they really find is love for themselves. I know that sounds kind of cliche, but, you know, I have a lot of different programs and I help people in so many different ways. And, you know, being a therapist, I just don't believe that there's a cookie cutter approach or like one size fits all kind of thing. We all have our journeys that shape us in different ways, right? And our past is connected to the future and the choices we make and the patterns that get created. So I love helping people from the outside in, and we'll talk about that obviously, because that flips the script. You know, people are like, what? Outside in?
Right.
But there's like different components that I help people with to build their confidence so that they can make more connections and eventually find love.
Well, it makes so much sense to me. And I obviously know you very well, but the inside out approach makes sense when it's like food and nutrition and what I do. But with you, it's like the outside in approach really has to do with confidence on the outside that can build confidence on the inside. So you help people with makeovers so that they can go be confident in their dating life. And you are a fashionista yourself. Whenever we go to the conferences, we're like, okay, is it time to go change our outfits? Because you and I have like three outfit changes throughout the day. We have our conference look, we have our stage look, and then we have our party looks. And that's just who we are.
It's very important to have different costumes for different needs. And that's definitely something that I always talk about. Like everyone should have a dating costume that should be different than your work costume or your mommy or daddy costume. So yes, absolutely.
Yes. And I remember on the first show, you told us to wear red in order to attract love. And I've never forgotten that.
You know, it's almost been my brand, and obviously it comes from my own hot mess story, as I think I told the story on here, but as a reminder for people who don't know me, it really came from me being this like frumpy mom from Chicago living a very traditional life.
I can't even imagine you that way because I've only known you this way.
No, you wouldn't. I mean, I was irrecognizable, and the thing is, you know, when you're in something so long, you don't even see yourself. Yeah. And really, that's what happened. I mean, I was just living this traditional life as a therapist, being a mom, having my house and my picket fence and the dog and the kids and the husband. I still have the kids, by the way, but obviously where the story is going is really what happened to me, and then also changed the trajectory of my entire business and my life, because we then picked up as a family. We moved across country. We plopped down here in La La Land. And that's LA for some of you who don't know what that is. And then we do what all the other people here do. We get a divorce. Now, obviously, it wasn't LA. But you, I know, have like similar stories. But, you know, it's easy to blame LA. But this would have happened regardless. I think in all seriousness, what happened is that, you know, again, I was living this life. I didn't even see myself. It was just kind of going through the motions. And when I was removed from the insulation of my kind of cushy life, I think the problem started surfacing, right? Like we weren't insulated from that stuff anymore. And it almost happened instantaneously. And with that, that's when the record stopped. I mean, my life as I knew it completely stopped. And by the way, in that moment in my life, my wardrobe consisted of all black, maybe a splash of beige. Mm. And they were all like five times too big of sizes for me. And I know that's hard to believe. But again, like, here's the other thing that happened with the divorce is that my body was changing and shifting. And I didn't even see it because I was just in this like really sad place. And mind you, up until then, I really believed in working from the inside out. I mean, this is kind of the normal thing. Like you know, you build your confidence, you do the work, you go through all the stuff that you grieve and hopefully after that, you're ready to get out there. Well, that didn't happen to me. And on top of it, I'm a friggin' therapist. Like, can you imagine? You know, it's like a nutritionist, right? Like just binging on chocolate or something, knowing full well that it's not good for you. And I knew the stuff I was doing probably wasn't good for me. But what I did do, and it became a crutch, is that I went to therapy myself and I did the work. But then I would use it as an excuse, Allison. Like people would ask me, oh, well, are you going to go out there and date? And I'm like, no, you know what? I'm just doing the work.
Oh my God. I'm just doing the work.
And look, as a therapist, doing the work it is very important. Don't get me wrong, but let's face it. It was way easier to go to therapy, and I say that in air quotes, and read a bunch of books, listen to podcasts, still listen to podcasts, by the way. But as you know, it's easier to just absorb that than to put yourself out in action and go flirt with a guy, right? Like I was completely paralyzed. So doing the work became analysis paralysis, and I did not know how to get out of my own way. So the day and the moment that really woke me up was when I just looked in the mirror one day, and it just, for some reason, that day I really saw myself. I mean, I was horrified. My hair was frazzled. I was still wearing nursing bras. It wasn't nursing any longer. I had flip-flops on. Like, I just that reflection is still like haunts me today. And I was like, oh my God, what happened to me? And so I ended up doing something very untraditional. I went shopping. This is why you get the benefit of me being in conferences with you. So we have all these outfits that we can wear.
I know.
I wasn't into shopping back then, but yeah, I knew nothing else was working and none of my clothes was fitting me, quite honestly. And I knew that it was a reflection of how I felt. And so I'm like, well, if I get some new clothes, maybe it'll like revitalize me. So I go shopping and I think I'm up-leveling myself. No, I'm putting all black clothes in my arms again. And I'm like, oh my God, this just felt comfortable, right? And this personal shopper, she came up to me and she's like, ma'am, I've been watching you and I really think you should try this on. And she holds up a red dress that looked like three sizes too small. I said, that is so sweet of you, but that's really not my size. And that is so not my color. And she says, honey, that is your size. That is your color. Try it on.
She was like a mini you in the making before you were you.
Oh my gosh, she was my inspiration. I call her my guardian angel, honestly. And I don't even think this woman knew the impact she had in that moment in time. And I call it my red dress moment. And it's funny that you remember the whole red thing because it's my brand now. I always wear red dresses. It's in my TEDx talk. It's like everything that I'm about because what is the red dress moment? It's the time when you stop numbing out. It's the time you start taking action and you put yourself out there to really make a difference and a change. And so that's what I did. I took that red dress, I slipped into it, I twirled around like Cinderella, and bam. I'm like, oh my God. I just remember staring at myself in the mirror and I was like, oh my God, there she is.
Yeah.
No, I hadn't seen myself. It was like a visceral response. So I took that costume, and I call it a costume because I still don't believe it. And I'm like, well, I'm just going to go out into the world and I'm going to wear it in a bunch of places and just see what happens. Mm-hmm. And so I went to the coffee shop. I went to the grocery store. I walked my dog. I did everything in that red dress. And then it hit me. I started noticing men noticing me. Mm-hmm. And the thing that really surprised me, I didn't like it. I didn't like it. And I was like, oh my gosh, this whole time I was wearing the black clothes as a cloak to keep me invisible from men because I was just really scared of being seen. And I realized that I had to just practice being seen before I could do anything else. And so I did it. I got good at it. And then, well, then there was a whole other set of problems where I had to learn how to talk to the alien men. But, you know, it started with the red dress and just getting used to being in my body and like in my sexy confidence, in other words. So that's where kind of my vision of where my business was born, and I flipped the script and I work now from the outside in, realizing there's a symbiotic relationship between the outer and inner. It's not superficial. And I think so many people just focus on the inside. And, you know, we could be the best people that we are, the healthiest, just both in our body and our mind. But if we're not marketing ourselves, then love could pass us by.
That's a good way to put it. And I love what you do now. And I've seen you for years, ever since I've known you. How long have we been friends? 5, 6 years, something like that?
Oh my God, I lost track. It seems like forever.
Forever, exactly. Like it seems like almost as long as I've done this show, which is coming up on 9 years. So maybe even longer than that. Yeah. That's but what I was going to say is I've been watching you post these transformations of your clients for years, and you can see the difference of the person smiling, shining in their photos because they got the Kimmy Seltzer experience, the same experience that your guardian angel gave you with the red dress all those years ago.
It's so funny. It's so true. Well, and realizing too that the clothes has such an impact in our body language and the energy that we exude, right? Both in how we feel when we're wearing something, but also how other people perceive us. It's super powerful. And, you know, just so that people know, I'm not just this like cookie cutter LA stylist, say, oh, just wear this, you'll look fabulous. I mean, there's scientific proof that when you wear clothes that fit your body well, it improves not only your confidence, but also your performance. And there's shifts that go on in the brain, even, they found with this. So, you know, image does matter. And knowing that if you could do something so small that's absolutely instant, that can get a different result, like, why wouldn't you do it? That's so powerful. Everything else takes time. This stuff, to your point, I see somebody walking out of a dressing room where now they're standing a little taller. They have a little lift, you know, as they're like kind of walking, and they look sexier and happier. I call it the charisma glow, and it comes from my formula, Charisma Quotient, and that's the name of my podcast, which you've been on, of course. And it's kind of like looking at three pillars, right? And so when I say I start from the outside, the first pillar is style intelligence, meaning what you wear, your body language, your first impressions, your energy, your sex appeal, like those are all things that people first see.
Yeah.
And when you zero in on that, that really impacts how you feel inside, right? Because you get validated both inside and out. And then I work on the other two pillars, which is emotional intelligence, right? Which is how we express our needs, how we express emotions, vulnerability, authenticity, all those things are super important when it comes to dating, especially. And then the third pillar is social intelligence, how we manage interpersonal communication, how we feel comfortable socially. And yes, that includes flirting. So as you know, flirting is a big part of my business. I do a lot of workshops on it, but it is all intertwined in building confidence to find love.
I love everything you do. And even though we've been friends for years, I love hearing these stories over and over again because they're absolutely relatable and beautiful. And I could also relate to something you said when you were doing the work, and it's like, quote unquote, the work. And I found myself also in the past realizing my ego did the work. My ego checked off the boxes, right? I understood what the work meant, but I wasn't truly doing it by having the transformation. And I think all of the things that you do, including the therapy and getting in touch with your emotions and all of that, plus the fashion and confidence, all of this is part of the healing journey, and all of this is a part of doing the quote unquote work. So that's why I love what you do. And I also love having a fellow fashionista at the conferences who just gets it. Like, no, we can't go to the next thing because we need an hour to go back and change. And there are some people that think that's crazy, but then it's like me, you, and like Katie Crimitzo, she dresses really well at the conferences too. And we get noticed and we get talked to, and there's a reason for that. And when I've dressed down and felt less confidence, I've been less likely to go make a new friend or talk to someone. My friend Ashley taught me in Italy, you know, Ashley. You helped out with Parker at Podfest when we did the keynote, and you sat with her son. Anyways, she taught me the concept of the statement necklace. So when you are, let's say, in a networking situation or something like that, where maybe you're too shy to meet new people, but you wear a beautiful piece of jewelry that causes people to have something to talk to you about, and you have a conversation starter, and you can say, oh, the history is I got it in Italy, or whatever the history is, and it sparks a conversation. Oh, what's your favorite part of Italy? Whatever it might be, I'm making this up as I go along, but the point is you sparked a conversation, whether it's with another female, a male you're dating, or you're just in a networking room at the conferences we go to, whatever, but that builds your confidence and your friendships as well, which I know friendships is going to be one of your tips for sexy confidence that we'll get to. Anyways, my point is like, I love learning all of these tips to make us more confident in our skin and in the world, because we got to have confidence to make our dreams come true, honestly.
Yeah. And I love that you use the word like spark, you know, to spark something. And because it's, again, this vision of starting with something like a spark that turns into fire, that turns into something that, you know, really is heated. And just thinking about that, why I love all the clothes and all these like little things is that when you start small, it catapults into the bigger win, you know, in the end. I remember there was this woman that I was working with, and she was one of those people who came to me and she's like, find me a man. And she's like, I don't know how. And so she wanted to go do, like, I do these retreats and wing girl stuff. And I help people, like, interact in the world and actually have conversation and, you know, move conversation to dates. And she's like, well, I don't need help with my fashion, because she had, like, really expensive clothes and very nice clothes, by the way. You know, I saw some of her closet before we worked together. But it wasn't until I saw her in person when I looked at her and I said to her, you know, I'm happy to give you some techniques and we'll talk and have conversations with guys, but we got to take care of your image. She's like, what? I love my clothes. And I said, well, here's the problem. She was in all black. She had a shawl wrapped around her like a protective love shield. Mm-hmm. And like all her clothes were saying, don't come near me.
Yeah, yeah.
And she didn't realize that it was sending that message, but also how it connected to like her shyness. And she was more introverted and very in her head. And so I taught her a lot of other skills. But the first thing we had to do is just start small. So, you know, the first thing I told her to do is to buy red lipstick and to put it on. And to go out in the world and just experiment for 1 week what happens. And she came back and she's like, oh my God, that magic red bullet. And I said, what happened? She's like, well, Kimmy, every guy was talking to me this week. I don't know what happened. Like every time I wore the red lipstick, like even just like in the Uber and the train station or, you know, like just guys would come up to her. And because of that, she was more talkative back. And it was a big lesson to her. And after that, we got her some more colorful and sexier clothes. And now it's funny because people go to her for fashion advice because, like, I really, you know, turned her into this, like, queen. And everywhere she goes, she makes conversation, she flirts. And one day, the best story of this is that she was at a bar. And I was teaching her some techniques of just like, again, that energy, the flirtation. And she was bebopping, flirting, having fun with everyone. And I always told, this is why I tell everyone, never worry about the outcome or what's next. It's just what is, just being playful. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't attracted to anybody at that bar. Okay. But what happened is afterwards, a guy came up to her right at the end of the night and said, I hope you don't find that this is like creepy. She said, but I just couldn't help but notice you. I just loved your energy. I was just watching you kind of move across the bar and talk to everyone. That guy she ended up dating.
Wow. Oh my gosh. He just recognized the confidence.
100%. Well, and the spark, you know, like she had the charisma, the spark. And this is a woman who never in a million years would like call herself charismatic. I mean, again, she was more of an introvert and that kind of thing. And I think that's the thing is that a lot of times people will refer themselves as like introverts. And I believe in introversion, extroversion, don't get me wrong. But I think sometimes people just mislabel themselves because of lack of experience. And when you don't have a lot of experience socializing and just knowing the formula and how to like put yourself out there, then it's exhausting. It fills a lot of headspace. And that's what she was doing. She was thinking so hard, like what to say. And she just had to focus on just showing up. I'm like, forget the words. Like, let's work on your body language, your energy, how you tell stories, because the rest will just happen naturally.
Yeah, it's not that hard. I think we overthink it, especially, you know, like you, when you had been out of the game for a while, you're like, I don't know how to do this because I haven't had to do this. I have no practice. Well, practice makes perfect no matter what you're doing.
Yes. No, that's exactly right. And that's what I tell people, you know, like, because I know we're talking about confidence. I define confidence, and I do this in all my workshops. I ask people what confidence is. And, you know, everyone has their different definition. But the reality is I just think confidence is experience. End of story. Like there's not one person out there that's not confident. But there may be an area that you don't have confidence in. Why? Because you haven't had positive exposure to it or maybe even experience around. So how do you get it? You practice. And you do it over and over and over again until it just becomes you.
Yeah, and then it creates new neural pathways in the brain that makes it easy and safe. Because when we're scared to do something, we can't convince ourselves not to be scared to do it. Whether it's flirting, talking to people, changing our outfits, we have to do it in order to realize that it's safe and that it works. And then the new neural pathways in the brain are created, which makes it easier and easier. It's like, that's why practice makes perfect. It makes complete sense to me. And I found out something not really recently, but more recently than not, let's say, when I used to run errands, I would just be like, throw on a baseball cap, some sweats, like yoga outfit, whatever, not trying to look cute because I didn't want to talk to anyone because I'm in a hurry. I'm introverted. And it was literally the worst experience. Then when I realized, oh, if I do a little hair, a little lipstick, dress up just a teeny bit, even if it's a yoga outfit, make it a cute one that matches, mm-hmm, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm going to the grocery store. Why wouldn't I talk to the person that's looking at the same wine that I love and give them some advice on the wine or talk to someone about what they're cooking that night? Like, conversations don't start when you're all introverted and in your body and not looking cute because you don't want to make eye contact. You don't want to talk to people. But what great conversations can you have when you're out in the world? But I didn't want to do that when I was feeling like I look like trash. So if I go out and I look good, then I want to talk to people. And then when people talk to me, I'm more engaging in the conversation. You know, those Trader Joe's checkout people, they are trained to tell you, oh, have you had this one? This one's the best. I want to try this. Like, and you're just like, oh my God, don't look at me. I look like trash. Now I engage in the conversations that I didn't before.
I love that. Well, and I love that you're also highlighting the importance of networking too when it comes to dating, because people will ask me all the time, well, I don't know where to go to meet people and I don't know what to say. I'm like, you realize that there are single people right next to you in the grocery store. Like, they're like, everyone compartmentalizes their life into the apps or like a certain aspect or a certain event that they're going to. It's like, okay, now I'll turn it on because it's the contained place to do it. Well, my whole theory is like dating is a way of life. Flirting is a way of life. It's like constant. Everywhere and anywhere you go are chances and opportunities to meet people. And by the way, it's not always the person that you're talking to. So like to your point, if you're just talking to a Trader Joe's guy and he's 25 years old who've been trained to say what he's saying, how adorable. Like maybe he has a single dad. You have no idea like who he knows. And you don't know also like my client who like is watching you from behind and saying, oh my God, I love her energy. And so I look at every interaction as an opportunity to learn and grow from and also connect people with. And when you do it like that, when you're really connected to the moment and the person you're talking to, so many opportunities will come your way. But again, that's why starting with your own sexy confidence is so crucial, because everyone is focused on the man or the woman. But what about you? Like, what are you giving off to attract what you want?
Yeah. And I've seen you in action and you're very, very good at this. You always ask good questions. You always introduce new people you just met to old people you know or new people you just met. You're very good at navigating social situations, but I know that took you time. And I didn't know you in your black era, so I don't know you in any other way. So it's like kind of messing with my mind to even think of you that way, but that's a testament to who you are today that I can't even imagine you being that way in the past.
Oh my God, you're so sweet. Well, and here's the thing. I mean, I would say I wasn't like an introvert before. And the kicker was, is I thought I was a pretty confident person in my like, you know, cushy life back in Chicago. But I realized I was confident in the life that I knew. It wasn't until I was removed from that where I felt completely not confident. Why? Because I've never been a single mom before. I've never been divorced before. I never lived in LA where I had no support system, you know? And so again, it goes back to that exposure type of thing. And so I always tell people, like, give yourself a break. If you're just trying to get back out there after divorce or losing somebody and you're feeling a little wobbly and having a hard time navigating, like, that's normal, you know, like no one can just go back out there. I hate when people say, oh, just get more confidence, just go out there and date. But like, what does that mean? And that's why, like, if there are little tangible things that you can do to build your confidence over time, that's what's going to give you the confidence. So like a lot of the workshops I do are all skill-based. Like I have a workshop this month on how to create great first impressions. Next month is flirting. Another month it might be like conversation hacks. And to me, that's the magic. And they're co-ed and we practice things together because that's how you're going to like not be scared about some of the stuff.
Yeah. Do you have any juicy stories about people falling in love at your events or any great transformation stories you want to share?
Oh my God. I have so many. I mean, I think one that was really highlighted for me was one of the last retreats that I did. A woman, she was a widow and she had lost her husband and almost like literally gave up. And she's like, I just don't think that there's going to be anybody for me. And she lived in this very rural town in Wisconsin on top of it with like a bunch of cornfields. Like it wasn't a metropolitan area where all these singles are hanging out. And she also was in her 60s. And she was overweight. She didn't have anywhere to go to dress up. So, her clothes were like just shorts and a tank top, nothing special. And so she joined my program. And in this particular retreat program is when we do classes beforehand, before we meet at the retreat. And what this is an amazing story. So what happened is during the course of the classes, she decided to go online and do a lot of the things I was teaching her. We did a virtual makeover that's part of the program where we look at people's, I look at people's closet and I teach you about your body type. And then I was giving her suggestions on what to buy. And she put some, cute pictures online and she started dating online.
Well, that's awesome.
In the middle of, I want to say it was, we were almost at the retreat. So it was about 2 weeks out from the retreat. I get an email from her. She's like, well, I don't think I can make it to the retreat, but it's for a great reason. I'm like, what? She's like, I met someone and I think I'm in love.
Oh my God.
Well, and that I always get a little worried about like when things happen really fast, but she just, the fact that she connected with somebody, was huge for her. It had been years.
Right.
So she started dating him. I said, no, instead of not going to the retreat, bring him. So she brought him to the retreat and you should see the video footage of it. I mean, it's so beautiful. Like it should be like, talk about reality TV. And this is like real stuff that just makes your heart just melt. And, he loved it. Like it actually helped them bond. They had huge breakthroughs. She just was feeling sexy because she was worried that he wouldn't find her sexy. And we did all these like different exercises where I have people go out in the field with this app and they have to like do silly things to help them get out of their head and get more playful and fun. And we did a whole photo shoot and he was like in awe, and it was awesome. Well, I just heard they got engaged. Like they're happier than ever. And this is now it's been like a year, like it really lasted. They did a lot of work and couldn't be happier. So like that's a true Cinderella story that happened from that. But there are many success stories and they don't necessarily all end in relationships either. I mean, a lot of times the success is just within themselves. Again, just being happy, just feeling alive is sometimes like the success that people have, especially if you're like not feeling, good about yourself or you've been lonely for a long time. So I just want to mention that success lies within you and your own journey. And it doesn't necessarily mean finding a man or finding a woman. It's again, finding yourself, because after that, anything can happen.
I love that. Well, that is a perfect segue into our next topic that I want to talk about. You have 5 F's, which are your tips for sexy confidence. Can we go through those? We've kind of gone through some of them today, but I want to break it down so that we have some ideas.
Well, yeah. And this kind of came from, just my kind of fundamental tips that I'm going to be covering at my Spark Your Sexy retreat coming up. And so I was thinking about, what is it that women really need? And I decided to do all women this time. And I love so much that women can really lift each other up and empower each other, especially when you have like-minded people all together. And yeah. I think we're getting so fragmented that we're losing a sense of friendship, which is one of the F's. And friendship is so crucial when you're single. Having a good set of wing gals to go out with, to go flirting with, to have you just being uplifted in that energy is huge, you know. And I always joke, like, as nice as the married folk are, and you're lovely if you're married, I'm not saying that. It's just that you don't have the energy that, you know, singles might need, you know, to go flirting and to have fun. So, you know, friendships change as we get older and we move through life. The friendships that we had earlier may not serve us any longer. And so it's so important. And I feel like it's hard to feel like somebody who can go out and flirt and have fun when you're feeling lonely. So I think that's the very important F. The other F is fashion, of course. We've been talking about that. getting something that makes you feel sexy, that's different from your regular wardrobe. And also keeping in mind what the opposite sex finds sexy. You know, especially with women, we dress for each other often.
I know. Right? I know. Yeah.
We don't realize what men like. And I always would, oh God, I thought, like, wouldn't it be cool to have a segment on the news where there's a panel of men and then women come out in these different outfits and they, like, say what they like or what they find sexy? Because I think it's so different than just, like, the regular makeovers that you see. And it's not about what's in style. It's about what also works for your body, the colors that also flatter your skin tone, and clothes that make you feel confident. So, like, really taking a look at your wardrobe and making sure that you have those components so that it is your dating costume. I always say, like, it's almost like Wonder Woman, right? Like, you're going on a date and you're changing outfits so you get a different energy as you go out into the world, that you're feeling, like, powerful. That's why you and I get obsessed with our outfits.
Yeah.
We have to have that power, you know, outfit. Okay, so that's the second F.
Wait, I have a question.
Oh, yes.
So when it comes to a first date outfit, I know we all have different body types and styles, but can you give us some recommendations that are kind of like a classic that would work on anyone? Like, is it a red dress? Is it a little black dress? Like, that's kind of a typical outfit, would be a little black dress and heels. That's kind of like historically something that people would wear. But what's your recommendations for us? We're in 2024. I know that big jeans are in style and skinny jeans are out, but I look terrible in them. So I'm not going to wear what's in style. I want to wear what looks good on me. But take us through, like, what is a good first date, you say, costume?
Oh my God, that's a great question. And yes, I'm so glad that you talked about the big jeans, because I don't think guys find that sexy anyway.
No, you know, they exactly.
They don't. You know, well, there's a difference between fashion and style. So fashion is something that comes and goes, and style is everlasting. So it's really finding something, first of all, that you feel confident that's your style. From there, and, you know, I mean, if anyone's interested in my free style guide, because it really helps you determine what body type you are and know what flatters your figure and what to stay away from. So that's a little more personalized. If you just go to kimmyseltzer.com/style, you can see what you have. And then from there, I would say there are certain items that men, because I work with both men and women. Let's go with the ladies first. Men definitely love dresses. Okay. That is a known fact. That's what they tell me. Don't shoot the messenger. They just love dresses. And I, you know, think about how you move in your body in a dress that's different than, like, say, sweats. You know, like, you do carry yourself differently. So that is something that I always recommend. Even if you're a woman and you're thinking, oh, I could never wear a dress, I always find a dress that works for your body type. It's just maybe you haven't found the right brand, the right cut that really works for you. In terms of color, it depends on the skin tone. But the reason why I always talk about red is there's scientific proof that men love red. There's actually, okay, it has an association with fertility, actually. It's really interesting. Mm-hmm. So if you're putting a picture on a, like, in your profile, or if you're having a first date, I always tell women, wear red. because it'll make a great first impression. Black is classic though too, you know, very sexy and classic. Now, heels definitely I always recommend to people. I know there's women who have feet issues, you know, and there are workarounds, and there, thank God we live in an era where there's a lot of different kinds of heels that are out there. There's chunky heels, there's little wedges, you can wear something really low, but obviously like health is first. So beyond that, I definitely recommend that. Guys love the way your calves look. You walk differently in heels. Mm-hmm. Everything about a heel, it just like it, there's an association of sex appeal. Okay.
Yeah.
So those are a few tips for the women. And for men, oh my gosh, just, you know, we don't ask for much. Just have an updated outfit that actually fits you, please. You know, like, you know, if you have big baggy jeans or they're pleated, you definitely need to contact me. Like, just, you know, something that is more fitted for your jeans.
I've seen you do this at the conferences with the men, by the way, and it's amazing.
Well, because men don't think about clothes as much as women, or, you know, they're not sitting on the couch on a Sunday afternoon talking about fashion necessarily yet. Secretly, right. They do want to know this stuff. So my man's fashion manifesto is like, if you go to that URL before, they can pick up that. And I do not only go over just like body types for them, but also grooming. Like, that's another tip for men. Again, trim the nose hairs, like trim the nails. Like, we appreciate that stuff. Women, yeah. Oh my God, and you can back me up. Like, we get so picky on things. Like, you can have a really good looking guy and maybe he's dressed well, but if he has like gross fingernails or yellow teeth or something, like, it can kill your image and your chance.
My friend judges people purely on their shoes. If they don't wear good shoes, she's out. Yeah. She's out.
Well, that's the thing that shocks men, because we're always getting on men, you know, for them being so visual, but I'm sorry. I think we're worse, but we just look at different things, you know, like, we'll be more, I guess, forgiving if you have a little bit of a tummy or receding hairline. If you're dressed well and you look successful, we'll give you a chance. Men, they're visual too, but they'll look at a woman and in those first impression stages, like, which is only 7 seconds, by the way, they're just looking and whether they're sexually attracted to you or not. Like, and so I always say women look at success and men look at sex in that first hit. Obviously, we all want more, you know, but I'm just saying we're all visual beings.
Yeah. And first impressions make a difference.
Yes. So, okay. So we went over fashion. Of course, there's flirt, and that is a big thing. Like, there's a difference between being the other F, friendly, and flirty.
Okay. Tell us the difference.
That is something that sometimes a lot of people have a hard time with. Like, you can have a very nice conversation. Maybe you're, you know, shooting some facts back and forth, niceties, how's your day, blah, blah, blah. But you might walk away saying, nice person, but I'm not really attracted to them. Flirting is a different level. Flirting is a playfulness and a magnetism, an energy that just draws people to you that people find attractive. Now, this could be a whole other podcast. This is a whole workshop I do. So it's a big topic, and it, I think, sure, it raises a lot of eyebrows, because I think people have associations with that word. You know, I say flirting and people want to like run and hide. But it's taking a look at what it is about the flirt that's challenging for you, and looking at your own definition of what flirting's about. And what I will say is that if you look in the dictionary of what the definition is, it's fascinating.
Okay.
It's to behave as though you're attracted to someone without the serious intention of an outcome.
I love it.
Isn't that great? Because if you think about it, most people don't flirt because they're worried about what's next.
And they're worried about, oh, that person is now going to know that I'm attracted to them. But if you have no attachment to the outcome, you don't care.
You don't care. And when you do care, that's when people get in their head, you know, and those are the excuses, like, oh, I'm not interested in that person, or I don't want to give them the wrong impression, I feel awkward, you know, whatever those excuses are. But that's not what flirting is about. And the best way of thinking about that is if you think about kids. Kids are the best flirt. they haven't developed filters yet, right? Like they're just playful. They'll just go up to somebody else on the playground and say, hi, what are you doing? Want to play? They don't like say, oh, I don't want to bother that person. They look really busy and, oh, what do I say? Or, oh, they're going to think I'm weird. Like they just don't do that. So what happens as adults, we develop filters, right? Because we've had hurt, we've had messages, and so we start overthinking things. But if we go back to the playground and we really learn how to play with each other, to me, that's where the flirting lives.
All right, for all my Organifi super fans, where you can get the top-notch nutrition that you need for yourself, your family, and your kids, we have some incredible promo codes. As always, everything is over at OrganifiShop.com/foodheals. When you use the coupon code FOODHEALS, you'll get 20% off your order plus all of the specials I'm about to announce for the months of April and May. 426 to 429, you can buy any two pouches that you want and you'll get a free Organifi Harmony. It's like a chocolatey cinnamon flavor that regulates your hormones. Now let's jump to the month of May. May 3rd, you can get a free shaker bottle with any two pouches, any two powders that you want over at OrganifiShop.com/foodheals. Then you can celebrate Mother's Day weekend, May 10th through May 12th. It's buy one, get one free Organifi Harmony Plus free shipping. May 17th, you can buy two red juices and you'll get a free 15 count of OGC. May 24th, you'll get a free frother with any two pouches, any two powders. And May 31st, you get a free crisp apple with two complete proteins. I'm so excited for all of these. I love them, Food Heals Nation. I take them every day. I love my sunrise to sunset kit, meaning I have something green to give me energy in the morning, red in the afternoon, and then I use the gold to put me into a relaxing mood and ready for sleep. That's like your turmeric tea latte. It is so delicious. Everything is packed with all the nutrition that you need throughout your day. So as always, you know where to go. It's OrganifiShop.com/foodheals, coupon code FOODHEALS. You know, I think about the kids too when it comes to just being ourselves. What would a kid do? What would a kid say? They wouldn't be too shy to sing or dance or do the things. Oh, and we're all holding ourselves back in our lives from just being freaking, I just want to say, relax. Like, let go of all the preconceived notions that you have to look, act, and be a certain way at all times. Like, we have been conditioned into not our natural inklings, which is to act as a child would in terms of like just being free to be ourselves, to ask questions, to talk to people, to want to play. And so I think that's a great one. And I think it's important to think about it in all areas of your life, especially confidence. What would a kid do? A kid would go, hey, what are you doing? What's up? Like, have no problem talking to anyone at any time.
No, I mean, and so like, what's wrong with just saying at the bar, hi, happy Friday. What are you doing? Happy hour. You know, like just being that kind of curious kid, you know, because curiosity is such an attractive trait. And, you know, I see this with, I did a podcast on vacation mentality. You know, like when you're on vacation, you're more curious. Think about it. You're asking more questions.
You talk to everybody.
Right. You talk to everybody. So just thinking about that mentality everywhere you go in your hometown, what if every day was a vacation for you, you know, and just thinking of it that way or being on the playground. So no, it's super important. Like at my retreats, I love that you said the dancing and the singing that kids do. I mean, that's what I do. I bring in a dancer and we do salsa dancing and burlesque and all these like sensual fun dances. You know, we do scavenger hunts and I'm an improver. So of course I make people play improv games, which they don't like and then they love in the end. But it's all about that, which leads me to the next F, and that is fun. Oh my God. Like no one's having fun anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're all getting so serious. And you know, like when I'm on a call with someone, and I am just like getting to know them. Most people say they're not having fun. Like their life has gotten serious or sad or they've had a lot of loss. And gosh, like you could, again, do all this inner work and read all these books. But, you know, if you're not fun or you're not playful, you're not going to have opportunities to even attract somebody because you're in that like kind of negative serious energy, you know. So sounds so fundamental and kind of simple, but really it was interesting. There was a study that was done and it was researching the top qualities of what people found attractive in those first, you know, stages. And it was surprising to a lot of people. It wasn't success or intelligence. I mean, that was on the list, but it was way down. The number one was playfulness.
And not saying no to things because of your to-do list or your stress levels. Go have fun. Say yes to the thing. I don't care what it is. Like, I know that we also have to have boundaries and it's okay to say no to things. But I know when I was in like my, I'll call it my trauma response period, I was so serious, Kimmy. And I'm like, that's not who I am. But you become serious. It's part of a trauma response. It's a form of protection. And look, we all need a little protection, but I still want to have fun. I want to enjoy the rest of my life as much as possible. So we got to make room for laughter. Laughter and fun are so key.
That's why I love when you and I are in conferences together, because we always have fun.
You have the best laugh and we have a lot of fun. Yes.
Yeah. No. And that's the thing about being in the dark place. And obviously you heard my story too. It's such a rabbit hole. You know, like it's so easy to just stay in there in your comfy cocoon. And, you know, even if it just feels like, oh my God, it's like going to the gym almost. I can't get myself to get out or go. Just start with something that could feel a little bit easier for you. Even just going on like to a playground and watching kids, like just get inspired or watch a funny movie or something that gets you out of that state. You got to start somewhere. So, okay. The final F is femininity. Again, a whole other podcast, right? Like this is a big buzzword that a lot of people have been talking about. Like what is femininity these days? Because I think it's shifted over the years. I mean, we can't go back to the My Fair Lady, you know, era. We're also like stronger. We're all, you know, women, we're working. And so people are getting confused. And so we just, I have a lot of women who are like highly successful and high achievers, and they're having such a hard time with this notion of femininity. But at the end of the day, what it really is, it's about receiving.
Yeah. Allowing
to receive. It's slowing down. It's finding opportunities where you can allow somebody to give to you, not just men, but anyone for that matter. If you're independent woman and you're just used to doing everything yourself for so long, it's hard, especially when you're just thinking, well, it'll be easier if I just do it myself, or I know how to do it. That's not the point.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it feel so good to have somebody there for you? I'll end on this funny story because that's the last F. But there was a woman in one of my retreats that I was working with, and I also did some private coaching with her. And we were at a bar in Vegas. And by the way, my next retreat is in Vegas too, because it's such a fun place. And she was the classic, like, independent woman high up there in the workforce. And she was a mom on top of it. So just totally used to running the ship. And we walk in the bar and she goes right to the bar. She takes out her credit card and she's like, "What do you want?" Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And she's like, "Well, I'm buying us a drink." I'm like, "No, you're not." And she's like, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "No, a man's going to buy us a drink."
I love this.
Right? And she's like, "Well, a man never buys me a drink." I said, "Clearly." I said, you're not allowing for that to happen. So right. I had her return the credit card. I said, "Let's just slow down and ease into the place. And let's just see like where life takes us. And let's find an opening where we can sit down, maybe next to some gentlemen, and have some conversations." So we did. We found a beautiful spot at the bar. And lo and behold, these gentlemen start talking to us. And I'd say within 7 minutes, they bought us drinks. And she looked at us and she's like, "Did you plant these guys?" I'm like, "I don't know that many people to plant."
Right, but right.
This is what happens when you really slow down and you connect with people and allow opportunities like that. It was a big lesson for her. She's like, "Wow, I've been doing this in every aspect of my life. I just don't allow that."
Well, she was in her masculine when she went up to the bar to get the drinks. And that's okay. It is what it is. But you taught her you don't have to be that way. And I think as women, we have been sold a bill of goods. As entrepreneurs, we're taught to be to be these hustlers and all these things. Well, there's a lot of differences between men and women, especially when it comes to our hormones and our cycles and everything like this. We need more rest. We need more sleep. That's why historically we've been the ones that are taken care of by a man. This is not anti-feminism. This is literally how our bodies were built. Okay. Yes. So if you think about it from that perspective, allowing ourselves to be feminine is a gift to ourselves. And it's not about using the guys for a drink. It's about realizing that it's okay to let a man take care of you. And it doesn't mean you're not a feminist or you're not an entrepreneur or you're not a hustler. Like, I really think the last, I don't know how many years, and I was a part of it. Like, I was sold this bill of goods. You have to be this independent woman. And then I read a book that was like, can we just be interdependent? Like, we can rely on each other, but you can allow someone to take out the trash for you. You can allow someone to do things for you without guilt, without being, oh, I can do it myself. I could have done it better, blah, blah, blah. All of that is not being in that feminine, is not being in that allowing. And doesn't mean we're not going to do things for men. That's not what I'm saying at all. It's really about what you started with the allowing of, oh, I'm allowed to receive.
Mm-hmm. I love what you just said too. And like the body aspect of it as well. Like,
yes.
How much healthier it is when we have the ability to slow down, take care of our bodies and allow people to take care of us. And it's a balance. And, you know, and it's also not about dumbing down either. I want to highlight that because a lot of women feel like, oh, I don't want to pretend like I'm this damsel in distress and dumbing down for no man. Like, I hear that a lot. And again, men love intelligent women. That's not what this is. It's, again, allowing just, men to give to you, you know, because that's their pleasure. They want to. And a lot of, and you know, this relates to the dating world and what's happening right now, because both sexes have responsibility and approachability. So I'll just kind of end with this, is that it's not just the man's job to come up to the woman, but it's also the woman's job to say, hey, I am open for business. Come hither. You know, like, it's still going back to that day where the ladies would drop a hanky. Like, we have to show interest, and because men are scared too. So like, no one's approaching anybody. That's the problem, is because the women are saying, well, where's all the alpha men? No one's coming up. And then the men are like, oh my God, these women do not want to be talked to, you know? And so I think if we all, it's a lesson for everyone, just like, again, full circle, it goes back to being open, marketing yourself, having that kind of approachability and availability about you. That is half the battle.
Yes, I totally agree. It's what you put out, you're going to get back. So you have the Spark Your Sexy Vegas. That's June 21st to 23rd. It's going to help women build their sexy confidence working on the five F's that we talk about today. Kimmy, how do they join? How do they follow you? Give us all the goods.
Oh my God. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on. This is like, of course, we could go on and on forever. I kept like, how did we get here already?
We barely scratched the surface.
I know. Oh my gosh. We'll have to do another one. So yeah, if you are interested in the retreat specifically, it's a private event, invite only. I have a couple slots left. Just go to askkimmy.com, and we can like hop on a call. But other than that, I have lots of other programs and workshops, as I talked about before. If you go to kimmyseltzer.com, it's probably the best way to have all my resources, my site, and all my socials are at Kimmy Seltzer, and my podcast, of course, Charisma Quotient.
The Charisma Quotient. I was on maybe last year, I think. But yeah, I'm sure you can find my episode where we talked about the healing power of pineapple, I will say.
It was awesome. Oh my God. It was an awesome conversation.
Well, you were like, let's talk about sexy foods or something. And I was like, I am not prepared for this, but I will tell you one thing that I do know is that pineapple makes you taste good. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Yes. And if you want to know more, you'll have to go to the episode.
Good plug.
Right.
All right. Well, Kimmy, thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited for your retreat. I love everything you do. And I will see you in LA soon, my sister.
Yes, I can't wait. Thank you.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This podcast is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Side effects of this podcast may include increased health and vitality, thoughts of living longer, developing a more positive outlook on life. In rare cases, people have experienced a strong desire to actually start using their $39.99 a month gym membership. If you experience any of these symptoms, Snapchat your trainer immediately.